ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Even amid the growing outrage and calls for government action, the number of women allegedly killed by men in Australia continues to rise. Police are treating the death of a 19-year-old woman in Sydney yesterday as suspicious and interviewing her 32-year-old partner in relation to the death. Across the weekend, we saw hundreds of thousands march to say enough is enough. And today, as you just heard there, National Cabinet is meeting to try and come up with immediate solutions. Among those our state and federal leaders will hear from is the Domestic, Family and Sexual Violence Commissioner, Michaela Cronin, and the Commissioner joins us on RN Breakfast. Commissioner, welcome.
Good morning, PK.
Again yesterday, news of another woman allegedly killed at the hands, allegedly, of a man. Of course, more to come from this story. Is it time for a royal commission into this kind of violence?
PK, I mean, what I'm hearing from people calling for a royal commission, the intent behind it is for there to be very focused, urgent attention. I met yesterday with the National Lived Experience Advisory Council, and I've talked across the community with people, and the resounding message I've been hearing is we want action now. We don't want to wait for another royal commission. We've had many inquiries. We've had death reviews. We've had other royal commissions. We need to learn from and implement the findings and recommendations from those processes.
National Cabinet meets in a few hours. What do they need to walk out with and announce? What are the priorities that they need to sign off on this morning?
Look, what I'm really interested in them walking out with is a commitment over time, not just while we're all paying this level of attention because of the horrendous number of women who've been murdered in a short period of time. This is a process that will need to go on over extended time. So I want them to walk out with a resolve that this will stay a priority over time. In terms of the specifics of what I'm interested in them being committed to, I think you've been covering them this morning. I think one of the things I'm deeply concerned about is we are seeing a generation of young people who are growing up with pornography and violent hate speech against women being thrust at them on the internet. I think we need protections in place for that. And I think we also need to be supporting young men about what do healthy relationships look like? What does healthy masculinity look like? So I think there's work to be done in the preventing and education early on. I also think we absolutely need to be looking at how are we responding to red flags? How are we ensuring that when we know and we have seen men who are predators, who have offended against women multiple times and often multiple women, that we are keeping an eye on those
perpetrators? And how should we keep an eye on those perpetrators?
Look, there are a number of issues in that. One of them is information sharing across the system, because sometimes they're not visible to the police. Women, we know, don't always go to the police. So women from some communities don't feel safe to report to the police. So sometimes it's women's services who are aware of these men who have offended multiple times. One of the things that's critical is information sharing and joining up across the system wherever we have eyes on these men, and bringing all of that information together. That's one of the things I'm concerned about, is that if we focus too much on men who are visible to the justice system, we're actually missing a whole lot of perpetrators.
Okay, that's really interesting. When you say women who don't feel comfortable going to police, are you talking particularly about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women?
Absolutely. First Nations women across the country often have very negative experiences of engagement with police. We know that we have an issue with misidentification of women as the primary aggressor. When the police turn up, sometimes it's the women who look like they're being violent and aggressive, and it's because they suddenly feel safe And so they are expressing how they're feeling. We also know that we've got serious issues with child protection and removal of Aboriginal children, and that women will do anything to protect their children, including staying in dangerous situations and not contacting anyone to keep them safe.
Children. I don't think we talk enough about children who are the victims as well in these situations and live with lifelong trauma. Does the meeting today need to focus also on children?
Absolutely, PK. I couldn't agree with you more. I think actually it's one of the things that we are failing in, that again, multiple royal commissions and inquiries have found we don't look enough at how we respond to children. Both, as I said before, how we are protecting them from what's coming at them in the community, but also services that are designed to meet their needs. They don't always, we need to consider children within the context of their families and support them in that way. But children don't always have needs that are aligned with their parents, even the protective parents. And they need to be able to talk to people who are listening to and understand their perspective.
Many experts are saying you need to spend $1 billion a year on this rather than the just over $2 billion over 5 years that's been committed. Do you agree with the figure that's been put out publicly?
To be honest, I don't think we know what the figure is. I don't think we have a good understanding about either what the unmet demand for current services are or the number of women who are not actually seeking services at all. I think we need to do a job. I absolutely think there needs to be more investment, but I think there are a couple of things we need to do first. We need to be very clear about where is our investment working well. We need to make sure we're evaluating and sharing learning from programs. Sometimes there are things that we've been funding that actually aren't necessarily very effective, and there are other things that are working very well that are under-resourced. So we need to understand more about what's working well. And I'm very interested in making sure we're tracking the money. I want us to look at how can we get a really good map and picture of where the money is going at the moment, because we don't have that.
Is this the moment? Are we about to do something real and dramatic, or do you fear this might be incremental yet again?
Look, PK, I think that actually we don't need a dramatic in the moment. Part of the problem is that it is an incredibly complex problem that needs lots of things to happen in lots of different spaces. What we need is for every bit of the system to be examining itself and asking the question, what is it we need to do better? What is it that we are currently doing actually that's harmful? What are the things we need to stop doing that are making it difficult for women to report, that are not making women safe, that are actually, I mean, we have some of our systems and processes and laws that are harmful to women. So while what I want to see is dramatic commitment, it's not necessarily a dramatic new thing.
No, it's all been there. It's just been a failure of execution in many cases. Thank you so much for your time, Michaela. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Domestic, Family and Sexual Violence Commissioner Michaela Cronin there.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.